Good morning. We'd like to welcome everyone to Wiggum Baptist Church to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll start off with our worship service. If you're visiting with us today, or if you have any prayer needs or concerns, you can use the tear off here that's found in your bulletin and just give it to Brother Tim or one of the deacons, or you can put it in the offering plate and we'll make sure it gets to the appropriate person or whoever needs it. Continue to remember our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Our goal is $1,500. As of last Sunday, we were between $1,200 and $1,300, maybe $1,250 or something like that. We'll still collect that. You can give to it as the Lord leads. Don't forget, no evening service tonight, Christmas Eve, January the 18th is Standing in the Gap Men's Ministry at 7 o'clock. January the 22nd is the Titus II Women's Ministry at 6:30 p.m. Both of those will be here at the church. Don't forget the new sign-up sheet flowers. Sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board in the hallways. Please sign up for this year. If you have any specific dates you'd like to provide the flowers for the church. Any other announcements?
I've got two things I want us to look at. One is the Proverbs 31 challenge. I was just challenging, we're going to start doing it in the new year, start things off right. But we're going to start in the book of Proverbs and do one chapter a day. Most of them are only about 20 to 30 verses long, so it doesn't take you long to read through it. But I challenge each day to read one of the Proverbs through the month of January. In February, we'll find another one that we can read through, and you know, I'll try to match it up for the dates. But just be in prayer about that. But don't just read it to say, okay, well, I checked off my box. Because Proverbs is all about wisdom. And I don't know about y'all, but I need all the wisdom I can get, especially in the world we live in today. So I do want you to begin doing that with me, because guess what? I don't want to start reading through this, so I get a jump on that. I can't ask you to do it if I'm not willing to do it. Amen. Next thing is, my sermon series to begin January, it's Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, is going to be Make a New Start. And I'm going to use START as an acronym. In each service, we're going to go through how we can start over again. What steps do we need to make? And so for the first 3 weeks in January, we'll begin to look at START and how we can start over. But then January, the end of January, we'll finish out on how to be blessed by God. Sound good? All right, appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Any birthdays? To close out the year, okay. We have a lot of people. I know we have some people traveling and all. As we go into our prayer time, we want to continue to remember them. And also, just remember as we move forward into our new year as Wiggum Baptist Church, that we are in God's will and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us this in 2024. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here and worship our Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that as we start our worship service, Lord, with these hymns, songs of praise and all, Lord, that we truly listen to those words, Lord, that we are here to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, I just want to lift Brother Tim up to you as he brings your word today, Lord. Let it not go out of here without us hearing it, not only hearing it, but doing it, Lord. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Stand with me, turn to hymn number 203. His name is wonderful. hymn number 217, Oh How I Love Jesus, all four verses.
Thank you. this time to come together to worship you, Lord, and help us to worship you in truth and love. And Lord, you're an awesome God, and we just come to you at this time. We're celebrating your birth, Lord, and we celebrate your life on this earth that has so many truths to follow you and worship you. And we just pray as we come to another year that we'll be found faithful and serve you in all we say and do. Take these offerings, Lord, and use it to glorify your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.
About the different characters that were in the Christmas story. And I know you say, well, you know, we're past Christmas now. You're right. But there's an event that happened about 2 years after Christmas that I want to talk about this morning. And the story of Christmas would not be finished unless we looked at the wise men. And that's what we're going to do this morning. The story of the wise men is one that is covered in mystery, so to speak. From tradition, it seems like we know all the facts and details about them and their lives, but the reality is we don't. We don't know a whole lot about them. From scripture, we're actually probably with more questions about them than we are with answers. I know it's interesting to see the manger scenes or the nativity scenes, even around churches, and you'll have baby Jesus in the manger, you'll have Joseph on one side, Mary on the other, you'll have the shepherds here and there scattered out, and then you'll have a whole bunch of sheep. Nowhere in the Bible did it say a whole bunch of sheep came to see Jesus. Amen? I'm just saying, right? But then you also see three other people knelt down, offering gifts, and who were they? Now, biblically speaking, I understand the concept of putting them in the Christmas story, don't get me wrong. But they, as I already stated, they didn't show up for about 2 years after the birth of Jesus. And so we look at this, and we're not saying there's technically anything wrong with it, but the context is a little different. So we're going to look at the wise men today, and ask some questions as we go along. We can ask ourselves, how many of them were there? And I know the usual answer is going to be three. But is that what Scripture says? It doesn't tell us how many. It just says they brought three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's all that is stated. And so we're kind of left wondering, how many were there? We don't know. We can guess, but maybe there was 100. We don't know. Maybe there was three. Maybe we don't know. Where did they come from? We're going to read in the Bible, it says from the east. Now, where is the east? Well, if you get on the equator and you travel east, where are you going to end up? You're not going to end up, because you're just going to keep going around and around and around, right? Because farther as you go east, the more you're going to go east. You never get as far east as you can go. Amen? You just keep going. The tradition says they came from Parthia, which would have been about a 2-year journey. So that does make sense if you want to say that. But biblically, the Bible doesn't tell us. It just says from the east. Well, how long did their journey take? Here again, it does not tell us. But from Scripture, we can kind of infer the fact that because Herod orders the death of every male child 2 years of age and under, that somewhere around 2 years is the time of length it took the wise men to travel to come to worship the baby Jesus. But now the time he gets you, I don't know about y'all, but if you've ever had a 2-year-old, they're no longer a baby. They are a toddler. They're in trouble, right? They're in their terrible twos. I know Jesus was a good kid, amen? Let's go ahead and read in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. We know that was a lie. Amen? Well, when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child, amen, you see it there, child, was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child, amen, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from or excuse me, they departed for their own country another way. We pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we have read your word, oh God, I pray that you give us insight, give us wisdom. Lord, help us to learn from these wise men. Oh Lord, help us to be wise men and wise women by seeking you out in our hearts and lives. Lord, to trust you, to worship you as our God, our Lord, our Savior. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in us and through us today. Lord, may your word accomplish the purpose you've sent it for. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a few quick facts. The journey of a wise man is one of faith. The journey of a wise man is one of faith. These were wise men because we're going to call them plural. There was probably more than one. But as you and I realize, we are on this journey. Hopefully all of us are. And hopefully it's a journey of faith. What makes people leave safety, security, power, prestige in their lives? What makes a person leave those things? Well, love will. Love will make you crazy, amen? Make you do crazy things. So love, romance would be one of them. I know back in the 1940s, there was a gold rush in California, and people thought they were going to get rich, so they packed up everything they had, and they left and went on the journey for wealth. Wealth will make you do crazy things. But faith sometimes makes you do things that don't make sense either. Matter of fact, I would guess that if you talk to anybody who is trying to serve the Lord, they will tell you that they have had to do some things they never expected they'd have to do. That God has called them. I never wanted to live in Georgia. I'm just going to tell you straight up. When I put my resumes out from the Baptist College of Florida, I put them in Alabama, I put them in Florida. God has a sense of humor, amen? He put me in Georgia. I love it. Don't get me wrong. But God sometimes will ask you to do things that you never thought you would. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe me, think of Abram. When God called Abram out of the land of Ur, of Chaldeans, what did he do? He says, I'll go to this place, I'm going to show you. And when you get there, I'm going to tell you you're there. Mm-hmm. Now, could you imagine him telling his family? Well, first off, he had a conversation with his wife. You know how that went, right? Well, you're crazy, you know? So he has to tell his wife, he has to tell his family, we're packing up, we're leaving. That don't make sense. Where are you going? I don't know. God said, just go, and when I get there, he's going to tell me I'm there. Well, that don't make a lot of sense, right? Okay, let's think of another biblical character. You got Noah. Crazy old Noah. Did what he did make sense? He's building an ark. Now, the way I understand the Bible, up until the time Noah built the ark, it had never rained on earth. That's my belief. I know there's other opinions. That's okay. I believe that mist would come up like a fog and water the ground. That's my opinion. But up until the time of the flood, when God says, I'm going to destroy mankind, I'm passing judgment on humanity. Noah started building an ark. It took him 100 years. Could you imagine his family and neighbors? Got a crazy old coot out there. He cut down every tree in the county. Just imagine the tree huggers back then, right? But old Noah, it didn't make sense, but God told him to do it. And when you act in faith, you step out on faith, he's going to tell you to go places and do things that doesn't make sense to you, and it doesn't make sense to other people. That is what the journey of a wise man does. And so when these people, no matter how many there were, right, whether they're 3 or 10 or 100, when these wise men started packing up, could you imagine the neighbor's kid running over to him and saying, where are you going? All right,
Going on a journey? Yeah. Where are you going to? We don't know. How long is it going to take you? Well, we don't know that either. Well, how do you know you're going to get there? Well, we don't. And I could imagine that little old smart mouth kid running home saying, them wise men sure ain't very smart, Mama. They don't know where they're going. They don't know when they're going to get there. They don't know how long it's going to take. They don't know how much it's going to cost them. They're just on the journey of faith. And they're going to wherever God leads them to. And you know, that should be our story as well. Because we don't know where God has taken us. But by faith, we've got to step out and say, okay, God, I don't know where this is going to take me. I don't know what I'm going to have to give up. I don't know what it's going to cost, but I'm going to trust you through the whole process. Because traveling back in these days was not a safe thing to do. Remember the story, the parable of the good Samaritan? He was beaten. He was robbed. Left for dead. But these wise men had a journey of faith. But it had a purpose behind it. And if we miss this, I think we missed the whole 12 verses. When you read this story, you realize there is a purpose that these men had. That they weren't just going somewhere for the fun of it. It wasn't a vacation, amen? A 2-year vacation, that sounds good, but most of us couldn't afford that. These men, they had a purpose in what they were doing. And their purpose was to worship the child that God had sent to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world. That was their mission. That was their purpose. That was their journey of faith, was so that they could go face to face, meet the Lord, the God, the Creator of all the world, and worship Him. And if our faith doesn't lead us to worship, then something is wrong. Amen? Something is wrong with our faith if it doesn't cause us to want to worship God. Every one of us, if we are saved, is on a journey. It is one of faith. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what this afternoon holds for any of us. It's a journey of faith. But in that journey of faith, whether it's over the mountains, through the valleys, through the mud pits, the mud bogs and everything else, or through a crystal clear lake, wherever it leads us, we should have a mindset of, Lord, help me worship you. Help me praise you. Help me follow you. Help me trust you through all of this. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is what? Impossible to do what? To please God. Without faith, it is impossible. He said, well, I've got a little bit of faith. Well, that's better than none, amen? But if you never step out in faith, your faith is never going to grow. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Are we truly seeking God by faith? He's, well, I'm already saying, well, good. What are you doing today? Amen? Well, I got saved 50 years ago. Good for you. How's that impacting your life today? How is that impacting your journey today? Are you closer to Him or further away? Throughout history, men and women have turned to God in faith and say, Lord, wherever you lead, I will follow. We sing it from time to time in our invitation, don't we? Wherever you lead, I'll go. And then when He says go, you say no, right? We say it, we sing it, But is it real in our lives? Because most time we won't even go across the street to see somebody God told us to go see. Much less go across the county line or the railroad tracks, amen. We're not willing to go there. But these men were men of faith. These men were on a journey of faith, and they had a purpose, and that purpose was to worship. That is my second point. A wise man's journey is one of worship. I want us to look back at verse 2 of Matthew. When they came to Jerusalem. Now let me set the background here. Because most of the time we have an understanding that when the wise men come to Jerusalem, that they only went and talked to Herod. That is not the case. Because in the language that is being used here, is that when they came to Jerusalem, they started asking everybody, where is it? Because they're thinking, man, if I've been on this journey for 2 years and I've been watching this star, surely I'm not the only one that's seen it. Amen? And it makes you wonder, well, here you've got the religious people who know where he's supposed to be born at. There's a star that's shining up above. It's been leading these people for 2 years across mountains and valleys and everything else. And yet they're coming, and all these people in Jerusalem don't know that the king's even been born. But the wise men come knowing they have a purpose and a plan, and they've even prepared themselves, and we'll get into that in a minute, but they prepared themselves to worship this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's read on. They come to town, and they say, verse 2, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod heard, or Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. So you see what the wise men are coming to Jerusalem, and they're starting to ask you, brother, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? They don't know. Well, Herod hears about it, right? So what does Herod do? He doesn't want to make a big scene out because he's already got a plan schemed out. Satan always does that. So he brings the wise men to himself secretly. That's what Scripture says. He comes, he brings them to himself secretly, and determine, tries to determine from them what time the child was born. When did this star appear? And he tells them a lie. Because he tells them that he wanted to go and worship the Christ child also. Well, when we look at these three, I say three. When we look at these wise men and their journey of faith was to worship. And when they came to worship the Christ child, did they come empty-handed? Oh, a journey of faith also is a journey of sacrifice. It's a journey of sacrifice. And I know that there are people who say, well, you're just saying that because you want to get a paycheck and you want to have this nice bed and you want to have lights, you want to have air conditioning and padded pews and all that is part of it. But we do more of it because we want to reach our community. We want to reach our state, we want to reach our nation, and we want to reach the world. Amen? And you can't do that. Is there anything in life that doesn't cost you? Even when the government tells you it's something free, guess what? That's a lie from Satan, because it's going to cost you probably 100 times more than if you went and did it yourself. Amen? When we come to worship. These three gifts that they brought, the gold represents a gift for royalty. So in a real sense, they were bringing the King of the Jews, they were bringing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a gift that was fit for royalty. Because how would you want to show up in England and see, well, well, what's his name now, King Charles. And if it was his birthday, would you bring him a bag of M&Ms? Would you? If you were invited, number one, I would never be invited, amen? But if you were invited, you would be expected to bring something that was good, something that was costly, something that was expensive, something that was fit for royalty, right? Same way that they're bringing this, it was a gift, so it wasn't that they were trying to buy anything. They came to worship, so they bring a gift of gold, but they also bring frankincense. What is frankincense? Not Frankenstein, it's frankincense, right? They say it's a very aromatic type of tree. Some believe it was like a Douglas fir or something that was very aromatic, because, you know, if y'all had a real tree in your house this year, you know what kind of fragrance it puts out. Well, when the sap from that tree was cut, like they do maple trees, they would catch that sap and it would dry and it would harden, and they would use it for incense. Why? What does that matter? Well, you go back and study what was supposed to be offered to God in worship. Part of what was supposed to be offered to him was frankincense, incense. And so in reality, what they are doing in the gifts that they're bringing, not only is he king, but now he is also deity, because as they're bringing incense for him, that was a requirement of the time, to bring incense before the Lord. But then you say, well, what is myrrh? Because that's third gift. What is myrrh? Myrrh was a very fragrant. And hear me on this, because why did Jesus come? And here, if we miss this, we miss the whole thing. Jesus came to die, right? He was the sacrificial lamb. It was himself for me. It was himself for you. He lived a perfect life. I could not, I will not ever live a perfect life. There's no value in me. It's in him and what he did. And when he cried out on the cross, it is finished. My sin debt was paid, because I put my faith and trust in him. You put your faith and trust in him. And he declares us righteous. Now, with that being said, what did they use to anoint and wrap a body in that had died? When you look, when they took Jesus' body down off of the cross and they began to wrap him, it clearly tells us that they brought oils and spices. More than likely, some of them spices were myrrh, even though it was not said that way. But here's the thing, that's what they did in the embalming process. They wrapped the body, they put those cloths, they put that myrrh in those wrappings so that it would help cover the smell of a decaying body. So in their gifts, they're saying he is king. In their gifts, they're saying he is God. And in their gifts, they're saying he is dying for the sins of the world. Wow. How did these three wise men know who they were coming to worship? Who led them to bring these gifts? I believe it was God himself. I said this ago, worship always requires sacrifice. If you don't believe me, even David in Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24 says, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me what? Nothing. Is that the right verse? Yeah, I got it wrong. Never mind. Anyhow, I've got it right on my paper here, just the wrong scripture reference. He says, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. How can we bring an offering or sacrifice to the Lord that doesn't cost us anything? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a what? A living sacrifice. So the reality is, well, Brother Tim, I came to church today. Well, that's a good start. That's a journey of faith. Amen. You stepped down on faith. You got ready. You got dressed. You got in the car and you came. That is a start of a worship. That is start of a sacrifice because you're preparing yourself, but you should also be preparing your heart. Amen. You don't just go out into a field and start scattering seeds without plowing it up first, right? You got to prepare your heart. And these wise men, on their journey, it took 2 years to get there, but in their journey, they were preparing their hearts because you can't worship unless your heart's right with God first. Amen. We'll do a study on the tabernacle sometime and all the symbolism that is there. But as we look at this, we realize that worship always involves sacrifice. Some of us, when the offering plate comes by, we give. Because worship always involves sacrifice. And if I'm not willing to give to the Lord, then that means that there's something wrong in my heart, to where I do not want to give to Him. You know what God wants more than anything from us? He wants our hearts. He wants our lives. So the question is, am I willing to give Him my heart? Am I willing to give Him my best? Amen. Sunday school lesson this morning, y'all. Am I willing to give Him my best? Not my leftovers, not my seconds, not my last, and definitely not what nobody else wants. Amen. Am I willing to go by faith on a journey with God? Am I willing to go with Him for the purpose of worshiping Him? Am I willing to give up my comfort zone? Here's a big question. Am I willing to give up my comfort zone to go with Him? Because so many times, you know what it is? It's easy to get on a chair and just sit there. It's easy to say, well, I feel good where I'm at. We looked at Mary, we looked at Joseph, we looked at the shepherds, we looked at, so far, everybody in the Christmas story, right, that I can think of. We've looked at everybody, and every single one of them went on a journey of faith. And that journey of faith calls them to get up out of their comfort zone and go somewhere. But yet we sit down many times and we're comfortable where we are. We don't want our little world shook up. We don't want to get rocked in any kind of way. We don't want to hurt. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to give, because we've got our own kingdom to build, not God's. Amen? So we give, but not where it hurts. And sometimes God's saying, listen, I want you to step out of your comfort zone and follow me. I want you to worship me. Wise men are still willing, I say wise men and women, okay? They're still willing to go on a spiritual journey with God by faith, but realizing it is going to cost. God wants us not. This is a good one, so y'all need to write this one down. God wants full custody, not weekend visits. Y'all want me to say that again? What does full custody mean? Come on, y'all help me out.
All the time.
All the time. That's a good question as we can get answered there, or good answers we can get. He wants all the time. But now search your heart and say, how much of God, how much of my time does God have? Is it weekends only? So if God doesn't have you during the week, who does? You'll have to answer that. Third point, finally, we'll end quickly. A wise person's journey is one of change. Is a journey of change. When you look at these wise men, you realize they came from these. How far they go, we don't know. Where they come from, we don't know. But we know they show up in Jerusalem. That we know they show up and begin to look for this Christ child, this King of the Jews that has been born. They know it as a matter of fact, even though they haven't laid their eyes on him. They know it, they believe it, and they're going to worship him. They're going to find him. That was their purpose. They came by faith. That it cost them, that they gave. But when they got there, listen carefully, we'll read verse 12 in just a minute. When they got there, they worshiped him. And you know what? When they left, well, let's just go ahead and read verse 12. Matthew 2, verse 12. Look at what it says. It says in verse 12, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. I believe that to be true both physically and spiritually, because when you come to the presence of Almighty God, you're not going to leave the same as you came. Amen? And they were warned not to go back to Herod. Wow. Because they knew that Herod the Great wasn't called the Great just because he was a great guy. Because he conquered and killed whoever he wanted to. Herod had evil intent. And so when these wise men came, they came to worship. And I'm sure that probably that same night after they had found the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as a toddler, and they had seen Mary, his mother, they worshiped him. They gave their gifts. And maybe later on that night or the time frame, we don't know. But in the process, they're sleeping, they're dreaming, and the angel of the Lord tells them, don't go back. And so when they left there to go back to their country another way. But that is true for you and I today also, because we can't, once we come into a relationship and worship God, I worship Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can't go back the way we used to be. Amen? He's going to change us, not only physically, he's going to change us spiritually. We can't be the same person we used to be. Second Corinthians. Well, let's go back. Well, let's go ahead and read this, and then we'll go back to the other two. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? You can go back doing the same old thing you used to always do. Is that what it says? He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You see, I can't claim to be a child of God and still live for the devil. Amen? You say, well, why are so many Christians ineffective in their witness? Well, can I say probably because if they are saved, they're still trying to live for the devil. And you can't do that. You can't do that. Listen here. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Isaiah, when he stepped into the presence or found himself in the presence of Almighty God, look at what it says. He says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and as I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He knew he could not be the same as he was before. He realized who he was. In Job chapter 40, verses 4 and 5, Job is questioning God. Y'all remember? Anybody read the book of Job? He's questioning. And when God started talking, he shut up real fast. Right? This is what he says. Behold, I am thou. What shall I answer you? He's speaking to God. I lay my hand on my mouth once I have spoken, but I will not answer yes twice, but I will proceed no further. Job was saying this, I realize I have messed up, questioning your sovereignty, questioning what you have done, questioning how you have created everything, what plan and purpose God has for his life. You see, it changes us when we come into the presence of Almighty God. Listen, if you haven't been changed, you haven't been born again. And I'm not saying that with any reserve this morning. If you're not changed, you're not born again. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? Unless one born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, to be born again means that there's a change. There's a change on the inside. There's a change that eventually shows up on the outside, because once the Lord gets hold of my heart, I can never leave the same as I came. You can't either. Your thoughts change. Your heart changes. Your attitude changes. Your life changes. The things you used to do change to do things that God wants you to do. To go places he wants you to go. Do things he wants you to do. These wise men left a different way, both physically and I also believe spiritually. And so should you and I. If you haven't been changed, you haven't been born again. And if you haven't been born again, you're not a child of God. Amen? You're not a child of God. But the reality is, today you can be a child of God because you can confess your sins. You can ask him into your heart. You can be a wise man or a wise woman and say, Lord, I came here today and I want to worship you. I want to give myself, my heart, my life, my goals, my dreams, my everything. I want to give them to you. Now, Lord, help me follow you. Help me trust you. Because I want to be a wise man. I want to be a wise woman. I want to be a wise teenager or a wise child. I want to seek God. What made them wise? They were wise because they had faith. Amen? They were wise because they came for the purpose all of us were created. They came to worship God. They came to worship Jesus Christ. But they were also wise because they allowed God to change them forever. My question this morning to you is, have you been changed by the grace of God? Have you been changed by Jesus Christ? Have you trusted him as your Lord and Savior? Are you willing to give up all that you are, all that you have, to follow him? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come for you today. Lord, realizing that on my own I have nothing to give you. We have nothing good of ourselves. And so we come this morning realizing that, Lord, these wise men have given us an example of who and what we should be and what we should do. Lord, I ask you today just to search our hearts, Lord, to help us make sure where our loyalties are. Who are we here to worship? Are we on a journey of faith? If so, Lord, then I praise you for the work you've done in us. But Lord, I also know that maybe there's someone here today who's never put their faith and trust in you, and today they want to make that decision to follow you. Lord, to be a wise man, a wise woman, and to start that journey of faith, to start a journey of worship, but also a journey of change. Lord, and allowing you to change them day by day into the image of who you want them to be. Lord, I pray that you just have your way in our hearts and lives as only you can. And Lord, we give you all the praise and the glory for it. I ask it in Jesus' name.